What up? Welcome to another episode of the Dealer Talk Podcast, episode 2, season 10. I'm pretty sure it's season 10, but if it's not season 10, then it's season 9. It's one of those two. But welcome back. We have a fantastic show today. We're going to be talking all about digital marketing with a fantastic guest. I'm super excited. But before we get into that, let's talk about some sponsors. Four Eyes. Folks, if you're not using Four Eyes, you're missing out. As I have said many times in the show, we are in an alternative-based market, which means customers are looking for vehicles that you don't have, and they're having to settle for alternatives. Four Eyes' core product helps you do that by gathering intelligent information from customer shopping behavior and then serving up vehicles of relevancy that gets those people to come back to your website, interact once again with your inventory, and potentially help you move cars that you actually have available to sell. They also have some other amazing products, like the Coffee Report, which gives you all kinds of insights on shopper behavior information, as well as their newly released product, their unified data platform, which I hear is pretty amazing. So, Four Eyes is offering you a 60-day, no-risk, absolutely free trial, and you can go to the show notes, click the link, and sign up for that today. Again, I want to give a special shout out to XDC and AMG, Automotive Marketing Gurus, for their amazing contribution to DT Vendor Management Solutions annual initiative Fill a Cart, where we help people in the local community here in Las Vegas for Thanksgiving to fill a shopping cart full of groceries. We had a goal of 4 families for this year, and because of their generous contribution, Terry Mack, JT and Bailey Thompson, and their whole team, we were able to help 11 families, folks. That's 11 families that are not just going to get a Thanksgiving meal, but they're going to get a shopping cart full of food that'll hopefully, will last for an entire month. So thank you so much for your contribution. If you would like to get involved, please go to the link in the show notes, click that link, look at the information, and then it'll tell you how you can contribute and help us out for 2024 so we can do even bigger and better things. So without further ado, we have a very good friend on the show, Mr. Darren Wagley. What up, Darren? How you doing, sir?
How y'all doing today?
Dude, I'm excited for this conversation because we don't plan conversations, but I suspect we're going to talk about my favorite topic, which is digital marketing, but we'll see where this thing goes.
Give a shout out to JT and Bailey. You're right. They're good people, man.
Yeah, no, for sure, man. Like they helped us out. Dude, it was their contribution helped us so much this
past initiative. Good to hear. Yeah.
So all right, so we kick things off here with an intro. So tell us about you.
Located in Maryland, work for a company named CarNow. Been here about 5 years. We do chat messaging and digital retail. We're in about 5,000 dealers across the country. Previous to that, I got a degree in English. I always like to make fun of, literature. Didn't have a job when I got out of college, obviously. And girlfriend at the time, she said, why don't you go work with my dad at the local auto auction? And I love cars. I really did love cars. I kind of grew up reading the Sunday paper, and I would gravitate to the car section every Sunday. And got a job at the auction, and that was it. I just kind of got bitten by the bug. Eventually worked for a very interesting unicorn of a company. It was AT&T, but it wasn't the phone. It was they leased cars back in the 90s over the phone. So I leased cars. I built leases. I desked deals over the phone and leased cars directly to consumers across the country. So that's where I kind of learned about leasing and money
factors. It was called AT&T, like the company?
Yeah, it was like AT&T Capital, and that was in my mid-20s back then, so I didn't quite understand the connection to AT&T. I just knew leasing was hot in the 90s, But what they did wrong, like a lot of leases back then, is they set the residual too high. So you got these dirt cheap leases back then. I was leasing brand new Ford Expeditions, custom built straight from the factory, no money down, taxes included, somewhere around $279 to $330 a month. I'm not making that up. And the leases were as high as 85% after 3 years, like an 85% residual, which means the payments are dirt cheap. But that kind of built my automotive base of knowledge between the auction and leasing. I did a stint in the Yellow Pages for about 7 years. Yellow Pages, I know I'm dating myself, but it's a great battleground to learn how to sell. Classic sales training. And then from there, I segued back to automotive, where I did TV for 10 years, cable TV advertising, worked mostly with automotive accounts in the Mid-Atlantic. And then from there, I went to TrueCar for roughly 4 years, did well there. They were very good to me. But in the end, I was attracted to CarNow and kind of saw what they were doing and jumped roughly 5 years ago. So mainly an automotive background. I never sold retail per se. I always wish I did. I respect those guys. I respect what they do. That's pretty much the one thing I'm missing out of my toolbox at this point is a stint selling, you know, at a dealership. But in general, the auto auction background and the leasing background has helped me immensely.
So, you know, I'm just going to share an anecdote here. So one of the things that I enjoyed about my Auto Trader days is, one, that they have very deep relationships with some dealerships. And one of the things that they were really good at, in my opinion, is they had this program called Jumpstart, where you would go to Atlanta and spend 4 days or 5 days out of the week out there training. And I was talking about this yesterday, actually. And they had like dealer simulation programs.
Okay.
And they also, you know, they partnered up with dealers here in Las Vegas that would let you go and like spend days at the dealership. Yep. With the salespeople and like look at everything that they were doing. And it was so eye-opening, dude. Like, it just helps you so much to understand what that process is really, really like. And I have dealership experience, but I was on the fixed ops side. I never was on the sales side. But right, I mean, right, after a week of just shadowing people at the dealership, like, you're like, dude, this is, yeah, it's pretty dope to have the opportunity to do that and then be of service to the dealers, right? So
absolutely. Like I said, it's the one thing I miss. I wish I had it. And what do you do now? Do you just duck out and do it for 2 years to go back into what we do now? Right, no. Yeah. I honestly see myself at some point retiring and maybe sliding into a job like that somewhere. And we'll see how it goes. But in general, that's how much I love cars. I truly do.
Yeah. No, dude, it's an amazing industry. And that's why I started the podcast, because I was having amazing conversations and I just wanted to like share them. So yeah, I agree. So let's kick things off. I'm very interested in where things are going. And this is going to sound maybe, I'm not trying to downplay it, right? But chat has always been, in my opinion, an afterthought for websites. And it's becoming now the thing that is essentially your everything on your website, right? So that, yep. And I don't know if CarNow is the pioneer that started this or, you know, some of the other ones, but what I do see right now is that these chat providers are not, I mean, chat is not, is just a fraction of what they're offering, but some of these tools now do CTAs, they manage message or the chat experience, they even down all the way down to digital retail. So what is your thought on the evolution of what chat used to be to where it is today?
I still remember stopping by a dealer, and it was in Northern Virginia. I won't say who it was. It was part of a big national group. And I'm sitting outside a Hyundai store, and whatever their chat product was, I got on it. I asked a few questions. I got no response. Like, after 10 minutes, I got no response. So I screenshot it, walked in, and did my introduction to the dealer, and I showed him. I said, nobody's responding. It's 2 p.m. on a Tuesday. And he deflected, but it was clearly an issue, right? Mm. And at that point, you could clearly see it was an afterthought to the guy, and he deflected me to their corporate office. Stopped by a year later, I pull up to the store. I did the same thing, and I completely forgot that I didn't. I did it previously a year ago. I pull out my phone. I get on their chat product. There's my old message, still there on the phone.
Oh, jeez.
I said again, hey, I'm looking for a Hyundai Elantra, you know, maybe in red color. What do you guys got going on? Something, you know, softball. No response. Waited 10 minutes. Walked in. Looked at the dealer. Same guy. Showed him the screenshot. And he goes, excuse my language. I don't know if we can say this on a podcast.
Yeah,
he goes,
do it.
What can I say, man? We're pretty fucked up. And I'm thinking, this is a national automotive group, right? And I'm like, it was funny, but it was a little deflating. It's like, but you're right. Dealers are now starting to catch on and have been slowly that, you know, they get way more virtual visitors than they do physical to their showroom. And they have to do their best to capture those virtual customers however they can, because that their website is their tool. So you are seeing an evolution within the industry of chat tools segueing to CTAs, chat tools segueing into DR, that sort of thing that allows them to capture more customers and subsequently you know, get some sales going on. But that's what I've been up against for 5 years is complacency, for lack of a better phrase. And you have to disturb that. If you're going to make a living in this industry, but they are catching on.
Yeah.
But there's still some out there. I see archaic products and I'm just like, how is this still being used?
Yes.
And I won't name specific competitors, but in general, I'm like, they're still using ABC here. I'm like, oh my gosh. So anyway, you're right.
So it's funny because I can remember just when we started DT Vendor Management, which is in August of 2018, and I would still see a lot of stores with just your traditional chat feature. Where I would go, and to your point, I would kind of go through that experience, and you know what we came out with was the average response was over an hour. It would take an hour or longer for somebody to respond to a chat, and it, to me, that just always blew my mind, because if you truly believe that your store is your dealer, your digital dealership, right? If you truly believe that. Imagine somebody, which happens too, but imagine enough that's waiting in the showroom for an hour before somebody engages with them or answers a question.
Yeah, that's right. I think we strive. I forget our exact metric. It's something like 2 seconds or 5 seconds. I don't oversell. We're not always perfect. We have human BDC agents, but in general, they're good. They respond quickly, but you're correct. Once you go beyond, my rule is 15 seconds, the 30, that customer's gone.
Yeah.
They're going to bounce. Yeah, they're just going to not look at the chat bubble again for the rest of the their journey through the dealer website. So,
and it's going to, and the reason why, and sorry to interject here, but the reason why is because a lot of these customers are used to the old experience. So they remember the 3 years, 5 years ago when they tried to chat with somebody and they waited there for an hour. And now they're like, okay, let me try this again. And if they feel, if they even get a hint that that's what they're going to get, I think that they're more likely to just bounce out of there and, you know, just kind of, yeah, they're not going to answer me anyway. So they just kind of move on, which is, again, I put the emphasis on, if you think that this is your digital dealership, would you let somebody in your showroom stand there for an hour with that nobody paying attention to that, you know?
All day long. So, yep, 100%.
But so then the question that, one of the things that I wanted to talk to you about, because I think that this is I think it has its pluses and I think it's very problematic, and it's this conversation around AI, especially AI tools in BDC departments. I think they can be helpful, but I also think that they can be very, very dangerous. So like, for instance, I'm trying to get ask you a specific question is, why do you think that we have the need to have AI when we're open for business, for instance? Like, why should an AI system be answering you during hours of operation? Like, shouldn't a human being be the person that's interacting with you when you're open?
I agree 100%. I think the attraction is you get instantaneous response. It's AI. It can look very, very human. It can quite often be cheaper for the dealer to employ a, let's call it $200 to $500 a month AI driven chat product. The problem is, as you said, it can be dangerous and there's liability involved. You can break it. You can still break it. And at least with a human, you can't really break a human. You can complain. You can complain about a chat conversation as a dealer and say, hey, why didn't your agent say this? or why didn't you guys answer this quick enough? And we can coach that up to our BDCs. But AI, you can break, and if you get a liability, you know, you can find yourself in a lot of deep water. But I think the attraction is, it's just, it's brainless. You know, it's going to answer quickly. It can be effective 90 to 95% of the time. What scares me is that 5 to 10% where liability is exposed, that sort of thing. So I think it's the hot new thing. I'm not ignoring it because clearly it's taking other industries by storm. It's the shiny new object right now. I just got back from Digital Dealer. I heard about AI this and AI that. Sometimes I don't even think it's AI. When I look at it, I'm like, isn't this just automated responses?
Yeah, exactly. That's so true.
I'm like, this really AI? It's you know, everyone's slapping it up on their logo, but I think that's what it is. It's possible lower cost, instantaneous response. They have a general distrust of chat in general. As you just said, the consumer has it from past experiences. A lot of my dealers I meet with, they have distrust of our industry and our product set. They have certain conversations they still recall and tell me when I'm meeting with them. So then they go, oh, AI, it'll just be perfect. And it'll just be this perfect experience and we'll collect leads and we'll sell cars. But it hasn't not yet worked out like that.
Yeah, like I can give you an example right now. And I think I've shared it in the podcast, but I know a dealership that I consult with that the AI, that a customer that was on a test drive got the AI to agree to let them take the customer, to let the customer take the vehicle for the weekend.
Can't hear.
And the dealership called the police on said customer. And when the police went over to her house to get the car, the person showed a screenshot of the AI saying where the AI clearly said, yes, that's fine. You can take the car, but it answered affirmatively. And so, I don't know, dude. I'm just, maybe it's the experience side of me that, and I don't talk experiences in doing something for knowledge, but experience, like we talk about the experience a lot. It's like this buzzword, and it's been this buzzword for a really long time. But what is an experience if not a feeling? When you talk about the experience is how you feel when you do business with a dealer. And how can you have a good experience when it's a robot or this automated, you know, program that's answering my questions? I don't buy it, dude. I don't buy it at all. Like, I understand if you're closed for business and you want to deliver some sort of response, or you have FOMO and you have fear of missing that lead or that opportunity. I can kind of agree with that. But do I really want that happening when I'm open for business and my BDC teams are there available to help customers? Or my internet teams, or however your whatever setup you have at your store,
right?
It's just right. It, to me, that's alarming. It's very concerning. You know,
especially
what I mean?
For a minimal cost savings, if any at all.
It's, yeah.
You know, typical chat products fall anywhere between $500 and $900 a month, and if you including human BDC agents 24/7, why would you save $400 just to have an AI driven product that can give a bad experience to your potential customer? It looks good at first, but then it's easily breakable. And when you think of the exposure and the liability, if I'm a dealer, I'm avoiding it for now.
Yeah. No, for now, I think that these things are going to evolve for sure. But, you know, the other side of it, like, why do you think that we're resistant? Because even now, even with chat now, chat companies have to offer managed message because the dealerships still don't engage with the chat the way that they should, and there's still lots of missed opportunities. If we were using the tool properly, then we wouldn't need the managed message component, right? So why do you think that still in today's world, 2023, where in a place where we talk about transparency, we talk about experience, we talk about all these things, we have a customer that's raising their hand directly in our face saying, hey, I need help, and we still ignore that?
It's down to training, quality of sales rep on the sales floor of the dealership. So you get to a typical dealership, even a high quality one, maybe they have a BDC, maybe they have a good BDC, but is the BDC good enough to answer? Because I'll be blunt, chats can be a waste of time.
Sure.
A chat can come in, the customer can ghost you, they can stop answering questions, they could be a kid screwing around, who knows? So immediately, your basic dealership employee, sales rep, BDC rep, they're going to get, the word I use is jaded. They get numb. They get chat numbness. They're like, okay, this is a complete waste of time. So I have yet, and I'm in the Mid-Atlantic. We have a lot of high quality groups out here. I've yet to see a dealership rooftop or group answer chats effectively during regular BDC hours ever. Almost every group I know just defers to let you Carnell BDC agents handle it. They know their people, whether it's your middle-aged sales rep guy on the floor who's all thumbs trying to type, or it's your BDC or whatever, they just don't answer the chats quick enough. If you don't get that chat within 5-10 seconds, they're going to bounce. Then you throw in, you get busy. You know, you get busy on a Friday, a Saturday, an evening, you're going to miss chats left and right. So you have the after-hours issue, and then you have the busy times, the Saturday afternoon issues where no one's answering anything. So I think that's why they automatically defer. For us, it's a minimal cost upgrade, minimal. I'm talking a couple hundred a month to go from you, the dealer, putting your team on this tool to answer chats 24/7 to a couple $100. My people will do it 24/7, including Christmas, New Year's Eve, 2 o'clock in the morning. They just shake, they just nod their head. They're like, it's no brainer. But it comes down to training and they get chat numb. What our agents do, to be blunt, is they literally just ring an alarm when they think they have a buyer.
Mm-hmm.
It at least cues the dealer to know in real time, hey, we got someone on your website. They're asking us buying questions. Don't know if it's the perfect customer, but they are asking questions. Do you, the dealer, want to jump in? A lot of dealers like that because either their salespeople can jump into a chat that they know is at least decent going into it, or their BDC can jump into it. So that's why I think you'd see lack of engagement from dealers with chat in general.
Yeah, no, and I like to have my partners on the show, like you guys, because I vetted the product, I trust the product, I can talk about it with firsthand experience. So, and your tool is by far and away, I can't think of one that's better. Like the managed services is superb. The representation that you guys have, like as far as training and anything that the dealership needs, you guys are always there to take care of that. So I love that aspect. Hey, if you don't need it, great. But if you need it, you guys are always there. And then the other thing too is, you know, you got some really cool features, like the one where it translates, you know, languages, for instance. Like we use that a lot at some of the stores that I work at.
Yeah.
Where
I'm in DC, man, and I grew up in DC. My high school had, I'm not making this up, I graduated back in 89. My high school graduating class in Rockville, Maryland had 38 languages represented in my class. It was awesome. It was a great way to grow up. And so I see a lot of dealers in the Mid-Atlantic using our tool and just switching seamlessly back and forth. Not just Latino, but Russian, Indian, Korean is a big deal in Northern Virginia and DC. They switch to Russian a lot in Northern Virginia. It's a huge boon, and it helps dealers out. They even switch in person. Sometimes it is very rare, but I've seen it. You got a guy sitting across the desk from me. He's from Russia. I've seen dealership groups in Virginia switch to Russian and just chat with the guy back and forth on the desk. You know, it's pretty nifty.
Yeah, for sure. That, you know, so you guys have really thought about that, you know, what I consider to be the experience aspect where you can communicate with the customer. And, you know, it's just frustrating to me sometimes to see the lack of utilization but the lack of importance, because if we thought it was important, if we thought it was as important as a lead, we would treat it differently. But to your point earlier, I think a lot of stores still look at it, and employees at the store still look at it like a waste of time. And that's the problem. I think the mindset that we go into the tool itself, that we go into using the tool itself, determines the experience that we're going to have. So it's almost like a self-fulfilling prophecy. Because if we took the time to really cater that conversation, we would see the conversions. And why do I say this? Because when we use the managed services, the conversions go through the roof.
Yep.
So why is that? It's the same customer. You know what I mean? It's the same person that was going to either talk to your team or the dealership team, but for some reason, the dealerships can't convert them at the same pace. So it's just very interesting to me to see that.
I think dealers in general, and it's not their fault, they're paid to sell cars. They're not trained chat BDC agents. They're not trained digital retail managers. So what they do is they give up too much information over the chat without collecting contact information, for lack of a better phrase. They will give up everything. And then the customer just ghosts them and walks away. I've seen that before where I get a dealership group. It's both good and bad. They have a high engagement rate, but when it's a new dealer, I can immediately tell what the issue is going to be. their lead conversion rate is low is because their guys are jumping in very quickly to chats, and then they're giving up all this information, and then they're getting nothing out of it. I literally have to go to those dealers and slow them down and say, you know what? I think you need to time these conversations. Let our BDC agent at least collect the info and then jump into the conversation if you think it's worth your while. So in general, they just don't know how to chat. Our agents are paid to answer questions quickly and then go. I say go for the kill. It's not the nicest thing in the world, but they go for it. They're like, can I have someone call you back from the dealership? And people are way more willing to give up their contact info when they think they're dealing with a human agent, a human, and that person has answered them fairly quickly what their questions are. Immediately they perk up. If someone answers and it's legit answers, they're way more willing to give up their email and their phone number if they think they're dealing with someone legit as opposed to a bot or a human at the dealer who's just giving them information and not asking the right questions.
You know, it's funny that you say that because that was going to be the next thing that I was going to, that I wanted to talk to you about. Do you think that we've gotten too transparent? Do you think that we've gotten to the point where we are too transparent as an industry? I think that's a very valid question. I think that a lot of dealers are, to your point, they're so, I don't know if afraid is the word, but they're so bought into the transparency conversation that I think we're taking it almost too far.
The big strategy question I have with my dealers when they set up a digital retail product, one of the first things I ask them is, when do you want to ask for the customer's contact info? Because if you're too transparent and you give up trade value of your car, you give them an estimated trade, then you give them their soft credit pool, then you give them an estimated payment on the car they're looking at that factors in their credit and their trade. Well, at that point, why do they need to give up their contact information? They don't. They can walk away. They can know in their head the payment's going to be $580 a month on a five-year note, blah, blah, blah. So I quite often, that's the biggest question I do with my dealers is, I think you need to ask for that contact information up front, or at the very least, when the consumer is looking to get their trade information on their car, you don't want to give them that much and let them walk. But you're right. There has been, you still get your dealers who try to hold everything back, and they've got built-in fees and market adjustments. But then you get these other guys who are just giving up everything. I still have a few once in a while. They're like, I don't want to ask for the contact info until the customer's gotten all the way through the payment process. And I'm like, all right, I go, let's do it for a month, but let's check back in. And almost always it's low results. And I'm like, can we move the contact information up to the front of the process? And they agree. But you're right, there has been a movement.
So I go back to like, all these widgets that we're putting, all these experiences, I go back to that, but we confuse digital retailing with an experience, which is, that's not what an experience is. But we do offer that, right? So the customer can almost sell themselves out of a deal to a certain degree, right? Because if they don't structure it properly or something like that, especially in today's high interest rate climate. I think that, you know, I don't know on your guys' end, but some of the data that we're collecting right now, and we haven't processed it through all our stores, but we are seeing a lot of dealers kind of deflect from digital retailing because of the payment conversation. And I think a lot of these customers don't realize incentive potential. They don't realize bank relationship potential that dealerships in certain areas could have. Different inventory that could be available to them to structure different deals. You know what I mean? So I don't know.
Absolutely.
What are your thoughts?
I think in general, dealers are jaded on digital retail, as they should be, because this is my personal opinion. It's not the company opinion. But in general, what I'm finding is you had your surge during COVID, right? Mm-hmm. Every dealer was mandated. Oh my gosh, people are never going to shop in the showroom again.
Yeah, we need this.
We need this. You have to put something on your website. So they were mandated. I had Shift Digital reps that were mandated to get their dealers to get something added. I had the dealer mandated. So they all that's the word I use. They slap something up on their website. It's basically an overpriced widget lead gatherer. And once they get it up there, most of them are just set it and forget it. They just, I got one. It's manufacturer approved. I don't want to mess with it. Ends up being just a very expensive widget gathering device. And as you said, it's impossible to factor in all the other things that a real human interaction can help you with. Here at Carnell, we actually say every sale starts with a conversation, and we mean that. In other words, we don't want a world where the consumer can just show up, buy a car, and they just wordlessly show up to your dealership 2 hours later expecting a set of keys. It doesn't work like that. The consumer's not. Yeah, it's not. Yeah. It's other than,
so true.
I hate to use these words, but Carvana, that's how they were built. CarMax, I think about 15% of their sales are now online only, which is pretty wild. But in general, the consumer still isn't conditioned to go to a traditional franchise website with the expectation, hey, I'm going to go to Herb Anderson Ford today and buy a car.
Dude, I love that. Let's manifest that. Herb Anderson Ford. I like that. Let's do it.
See, and then show up, buy it on the herbanderson.com, go buy the car, show up 2 hours later looking for the set of keys. The consumer's not doing that. I think that's a good thing for the dealer because the consumer still wants to go into the dealership, touch the steering wheel, smell the car, test drive. And as you said, the human element, the conversation, there might be other incentives available. There's so much effort that goes into building a DR product. It's insane. Mm-hmm. You can't cover every factor. You just can't. There's rebates. You gotta get trade partners. You gotta get vendors. You gotta get dealer track, route one. You gotta sync with the manufacturer. You gotta sync with AIS. It's nuts. And yet you still can't possibly cover every issue. And that goes back. You said too much information. The word I would almost use is misinformation.
Ooh,
right? Like you
that.
Said, they build a deal, but they don't know about other things, which, not to keep touting and tooting our horn, but I actually don't oversell DR to my dealers. What I tell them is our digital retail product syncs with the chat product. And that's what you said earlier. You got these companies that have chat, but they're segueing into CTAs and they're segueing into DR. When you unlock our tool, we ring the same alarm that our chat agents ring, and that pings your dealership team. Hey, you got a consumer on your website building a Honda Accord. They're building a Ford Mustang. They're building an F-150. Reach out and establish contact with a chat that at least leaves breadcrumbs. That's how I use it.
Mm-hmm.
Send your contact information. Introduce yourself. They may banter with you. They may not. They may just want to be left alone in their living room. But we've shown if you just establish contact with that consumer, they're way more willing to finish the process in the showroom, and the completion rate increases. However, I'll caution you on optimism there. Consumers, they still don't like finishing the they still want to go into the dealership, which I think is a good thing.
Oh, yeah.
But in general,
yeah.
We found if you establish a conversation, every sale starts with a conversation, it's a way more utilized, effectively tool. If you just slap it up there on your website, you're paying $800, $1,500 a month just to collect leads. Is that fair?
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And that's kind of like where I kind of wanted to go, is that most DR tools that are not like the tools that you guys have with your system are glorified lead widgets. The advantage of attaching it to chat, in my opinion, same thing with the CTA, is that it gives you the opportunity to interact with that. The customer can interact with that, and at the same time, the reps can interact with the customer real time while they're doing those things. Does that make sense? So they're filling out a form and they have a question or something like that, and then immediately you can have that real human being jump in there and continue to walk them through the process or answer any questions. Whereas if you don't have it, like if it's just a standalone tool and you get to something that, whether it's with your trade or with building your deal, that you don't understand, then you can make a lot of assumptions, and those assumptions can lead to the wrong outcome. Does that make sense?
All day long. Yeah, all day long. It's you get a cold experience, you go to a dealership website, some DR product pops up. It's usually a cold opening. You know, please put your name and number.
Yeah, start first give me your information and then play with the tool.
Like bounce out, done. So I have seen good products out there. I think what we do nice is, as you said, the chat product is 24/7 managed. Humans, right there, that's a win. You have a human interaction. Every time one of our agents sends out an inventory example, if I say, do you have any red Mustangs? If the dealer also has our DR product, part of that Viauto link will have a link to our DR tool. It'll just say, do you want to view payments? We show about 60% of our DR sessions start from chat. So right there, that's a win because you're already chatting with a human.
Right.
You open up the DR product. The chat conversation follows. Now they can keep chatting with you. And then the dealer is alerted in real time. It hasn't even hit the CRM yet. And if you have people that, this is the key, Herb, is that you have to have people who are engaged. You got to get, because we'll ping you on your cell phone as well. There's no reason, if I sell for a dealership, that if I got pinged in real time, that I got a customer building a Honda Accord on my website, I'd be all over it because I'm in sales. But sometimes I run into lack of engagement with dealerships because, again, you have turnover. You got some people who just don't get it, for lack of a better phrase. But you're right. It all adds up to a better consumer experience. And on that note, that's something that we picked up on, is when you go to a traditional dealership franchise website, the form fills can be awful. You click, whether it's confirm availability, trade value, pre-approved, ask a question, all the generic, you click it, it's the same thing that pops up over and over again. It's just name, number, email, short message. And that we've shown that's probably around a 5-8% engagement rate these days, conversion rate. It's people don't like giving up their information. It's just a cold opening. Versus if you make it a conversation, if you engage with the consumer, they're more willing to give up some information about themselves. And then in turn, you can bring them into the dealership to finish the deal.
Right on. Yeah, I love that. So one of the other things that I wanted to ask is kind of where do you think we're going, man, as far as this whole experience? Because I think that one of the things that these new chat experiences are kind of making it possible, or maybe, I don't know if possible is the right word, but what I'm getting at is I've always toyed with the idea of having the one click experience, right? So one call to action, give all the information that you possibly can on the car, the availability, pictures, merchandise it to the max, make sure that people can understand how to get to your dealership and make it easy for them to get any of their pre-purchase questions answered. But when it comes to the call to action, I feel like there's just oversaturation, and then you have 4 or 5 different vendors that have all these different CTAs, which makes it almost impossible to have some sort of conversion attribution from your website, which is by far and away your best converting source out of anything that you do. That's why I'm a big proponent of driving traffic directly to my website versus any other any other form of advertising. But if you can condense that all into what I call the one click experience, I think that that's it's better overall for the customer. Because think about it, if you were able to go to the website, get all the information that you wanted, and you click that one button that's there, you're interested, right?
Right.
Because you're not being asked to get your information at every turn. You're not asked to fill this form, do this, blah, blah, blah. It's kind of like the Apple thing. Like, there's only one button when you go buy an iPhone. Buy now. That's it. So right. I feel like if we had an experience, and with digital retailing, you know, and I put that in air quotes, all your questions should be answered there. It's going to tell you about your payment. It's going to tell you if you're pre-approved. It's going to ask you about your trade-in. All these other questions, it's going to ask you to schedule a test drive, for the most part, depending on who's managing that experience. So all of these things should really be condensed to just one button, and let the customer run through the whole thing and let them get whatever they need to get, and then move on. Or if they're really interested, then submit the lead. I don't know. I mean, do you foresee that being the future?
I got 3 thoughts on that. Number one is, I still remember dealing with a GM in Maryland. I must have screenshot his VDPs to him a half dozen times. And I'm like, hey, man, I text all my dealers. I'm like, you got 12 CTAs right now. He had 12. I'm like, you got 3 trade vendors. He had us, Edmunds, and KBB, I don't know. He had 3 DR products. He had multiple ask questions. I mean, it was a hot mess, and yet he didn't change it for 6 months. And eventually he was bounced from the dealership. But it kind of blew me and the local director, performance director from Carnell out here in Maryland. I was like, this guy's in charge of, it was a Honda dealership. Like, he's in charge of a multi-million dollar business, and he's not paying attention to the portal, the virtual portal to his showroom. So they get complacent. They don't know. I've had dealers don't even know what some buttons do. I've had a GM say that before. I don't know what that button does. They click it, goes off to an ugly landing page.
Yeah, right. Or it takes you off the website.
I was just talking to my buddy George last night. He's a regional performance director out here. I literally said last night, right before the Ravens game started, I said, if I was a GM, man, I would check the website every morning for 10 minutes. I would just roll through it, check to make sure the service scheduler's working, check the CTAs. Is the DR product loading? Every now and then, even we drop code, things aren't firing. But in general, check it. It's your website.
Yeah.
That's A. B, you're right. I went back to, you know, the form fills are ugly. They all do the same thing. They pop up. It's a poor consumer experience. As vendors, we all run to the dealer. We always say the same thing. More, more, more. I'm going to give you more leads. I'm going to give you this. I'm going to give you that. But we never stop and pause and say, what about the consumer? What is your consumer experience like hitting your website? What about them, right? So back to your point, we do have an option. You can click one button. It just says ask a question. And then within that, you get a bunch of options. We'll say, you know, I want to get a trade. I want to bill payments. I want to check and see if I can schedule a test drive. That button's shown to be do pretty well. Or if they opt just to go with our regular CTAs, it's a conversation. And every conversation within that CTA can end with, would you like to build payments? So right now, we're partnering with Mazda. We're crushing it. I think we have 19 out of the top 25 Mazda dealers in the country because they're under heavy metric pressure from Mazda. The dealers are under metric pressure for DR. They got to show so many transactions, so many engagement rates. They are under, it's a big number. And we're crushing it because I say all roads lead to the DR product. You can literally set the CTAs up. You click trade value. It just opens up the DR product and it goes right to the trade section. You want to do your soft credit pool, opens up the DR product, goes right to soft credit pool. That's shown to be very, very effective. I'm on the fence how I like it as a consumer experience because sometimes consumers can be like, whoa, where did I just go? But in general, we're blowing out the metrics for Mazda and it's been a good experience. So you're right. We just don't talk about the consumer enough.
Yeah, well, you know, we're getting close to that time, but I just wanted to interject with this thought from what you just said, and that was that you talked about the lead. We want to show as vendors, we want to show more leads to the dealership. But why do we do that? We don't do that because we believe in leads. I haven't had an off conversation with a single vendor that has ever said, "Oh, dude, leads are awesome. What are you talking about? Like, I want to give more leads to the dealer." We all do it because that's what the dealers want.
Right.
If the dealers really, truly didn't care about the leads, then we could have better conversations as vendors with the dealership because now we can move the conversation forward. We can talk about the 70% of customers that go to your website that will never, ever fill out a form. And that's a more productive conversation. That's a far more productive conversation than, hey, how many leads did I deliver for you this month? Like that conversation needs to put to death. Like that, it's just
all day long.
Because it enables, and you know, and I'm kind of putting my vendor shoes on and remembering my experiences when I was trying to, you know, really help dealerships. It's like, dude, like, yeah, I mean, I understand that you're worried about the lead volume. I get that because, you know, you want that activity and you want to keep your people moving. What you really should be thinking about is your experience overall. Is my digital experience going to sell you on coming here to actually buy the car? That's far, far more important.
Yep. And what we do on the, because we integrate the chat tool on the right, prompts pop up on every page. Like you get to the soft credit pool, a little prompt. This will not ding your credit. You don't need to put in your social. Blah, blah, blah. You get to the payments. There may be other rebates available to you as a customer with a discussion with the dealer. We can put little prompts there to kind of help the consumer along what's going on. So,
but going back to that, imagine this. Imagine you're in market to buy a car. However you found your way to X dealership, and then you go and chat with somebody and you're there for an hour. Is that really going to motivate me to go into that dealership and buy a car? Hell no. If you kept me waiting an hour on the chat, I can pretty much expect to be there 6 hours for my car.
Right.
You know?
Brutal.
Yeah.
Brutal.
So, anyways, got to rein it in because I'm getting too passionate. I could
do a whole another session with you in the future. Another thing we don't talk about is dealers slap the DR product up on their website, but then they don't market it.
Yeah.
And
exactly.
It's like, yeah, they're just stiff-arming the OEM. I got a certified product. Leave me alone.
Yeah.
I don't blame them because they got 100 things going on. But to me, if you're going to pay that money, you know, call it the Herb Anderson Express, run TV, run radio, run any kind of branding campaign, run search, you know, put it on top of your dealership with a big banner ad, you know, on top of the website. Our most effective dealers, they put some branding behind it. They put some thought into it and they tend to crush it. The ones who just kind of slap it up there, it's, you know, it works, but
it's a glorified lead widget. That's what we're treating it like. Yeah, and that's why we don't market it.
It's always crawl, walk, run. And again, when we deal with various skill sets within our dealerships, but if we can get them to slow down and pay attention, a lot of times I'm like, hey, can we put together a campaign for this and talk about it? So I still get fired up. I love it. I love marketing. I love talking to dealers. And I still get pretty fired up when I start talking about ideas and how we can maximize it. But it is crawl, walk, run.
Right on. I think that's a good place to end it. Dude, we got to do another one. I can't even believe that almost an hour has passed by. This conversation just flew.
Appreciate you.
So there is one thing that I ask everybody that comes on the show, but before we get into that, I want to give you 5 minutes to tell us the latest and greatest, how people can connect with you, what you guys got cooking, anything that you want to let the audience know. This is your moment.
Hey man, I'll do it in 1 minute flat because I got to do a demo in exactly 2 minutes. I appreciate you having me on. I'm Darren Wegley. I deal with both agencies across the country that want to partner with Carnell, and I deal with automotive dealerships across the country that want to look at chat messaging or digital retail. We've been around about 7 years, 5,000 dealers. It's an awesome company. Everybody, I'm not kidding. Everybody who works at this company is really cool, and it's been a great ride for me. So what makes us different is the chat product rings an alarm when we have a buyer. We ring, our BDC agents ring that alarm. That's the dealership's cue to jump in. We'll even ping you on your cell phone. So sales reps who work for the dealership can literally answer a chat at 11 o'clock at night and score an appointment for the following day. It's a great way to make way more money at the dealership. I got a lot of guys and women who sell cars, and they'll tell me I'm selling 15 to 20 cars a month off just chat because they lurk and they jump in that chat first when they hear the alarm. Yeah. They literally lurk. It's awesome. And then our DR product syncs with our CTAs and with the chat product. Raising conversion rates, and in general, we ring the same alarm when the consumer unlocks the DR product, giving the dealer again a chance to establish contact with that customer before they leave their website, go to a competing website, go to a buying site like TrueCar, and now they're looking at multiple options for the same car. We like to keep you on the dealer website, convert you as a lead, and then bring them in to buy the car subsequently. So that's what we do. Love working here, and I appreciate you having me on this podcast.
Awesome, brother. Thanks so much for joining us. So I'm gonna put you on the spot, dude. Is there any potential offers that we can give to people that are listening to this, like a dealer talk only audience deal?
Yep. All day, man. It's within OEM restrictions. We're certified with every manufacturer. So whether you're Nissan, Honda, Mercedes, Infiniti, we work with everybody. We're certified. We're approved. Some have restrictions on promos, but in general, I am 100% open on behalf of you to waiving activation fees and throwing a 30-day promo out there. On top of that, we do 30-day contracts, so you're not locked in for long-term. We get very little cancellations, but I do like my dealers moving forward with confidence. So you figure a 30-day contract, 30 days no charge, no activation fees. It's very affordable. What's there to lose? So feel free to give me a call.
Right on. Guys, let me reiterate that. So no contract, no activation fee, 30 days absolutely free. You have nothing to lose. Just connect with Darren, sign up, test it out. You will not regret it. I'm telling you, when I have the partners that I do business with on the show, it's because I trust their product. I vetted it myself. I have all the confidence in the world that you guys are going to do this trial and you're going to love it. You're going to have an amazing experience and you're going to be able to move forward with confidence. So we'll put a link in the show notes to connect with Darren. And then one last question, Darren, before you hop off, that I ask everybody that comes on the show: where do you see the automotive industry headed in the next 5 years and why?
It's a tough one, man. I don't even know if the dealers know. Obviously, there's a lot of consolidation with national groups coming in to buy the smaller dealers. I do see a number of dealers in the Mid-Atlantic being proactive and buying themselves, some of these mid-sized groups buying other smaller dealers to grow and form a defensive front. I don't know if we're going to move the direction of like a Tesla where you just literally build your car and show up and pick it up at the showroom. I do see dealers making slower decision cycles and doing a little bit of cost cutting right now, getting ready for Q1. I used to be able to do a lot of one-call closes. It's a great, great product. And yet lately I've been looking at some 30 to 60 day decision cycles. So I know dealers in general, they're not even sure how to prepare for next year, certainly not the next 5 years. So they're all kind of a little bit of a slower decision cycle right now.
Folks, there you have it. That's all the time that we have for today. And as usual, we'll talk later.